very good morning to you. Today on the programme, well, we have a senior minister and also some news coming in when it comes to waterfront and also Salt Hill Village and also swimming. Stay tuned for details on that. Today also we'll be going to Central Lisa Chambers. She's making a call indeed ahead of the European election as to what she wants. Also today in the programme, we're going to Supermax today. And I have to say that of cracking April Fool's joke that seems to have gone down poorly in some quarters. Don't know why, but anyway. Also today we're looking at an artist trailing Kern Dulla starting on Sunday the 14th. It's very unique, by the way, so stay tuned for details on that. Will Noel Grealish support Simon Harris? We'll be asking him that directly. Siobhan Cunningham joins us. And much more between now and 12 midday. Just don't go anywhere else on this Thursday morning. And don't forget, tomorrow morning at this time, we'll be in Ballygar for Community Matters. Tomorrow, we'll be there tomorrow morning. So if you're in and around that area, pop in and say hello to us. And that's we're going to be in Kenny's Bar. John Morley just loves the bar, so he does. He raises the bar as well. Anyway, we'll be in Kenny's Bar tomorrow morning, so we will, from about 8:30 onwards. Feel free to pop into us and get involved in the programme from there. If you want to get in contact with us today, though, you can do so. And quite simply, what you have to do is text us, if you want to the following number, 086 38 33 55 3. That is the number from there, 086 38 33 553, and get involved in today's programme. Let me go to Minister Hildegard Nocton, who joins me on the line. And she's having an extremely busy week, I have to say. And she's got some good news for us in a moment as well. And Hildegard, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
It's been a week of weeks, so it has, if not a fortnight of fortnights as well, but it's been quite busy.
It has. It's been an unusual 2 weeks or so, for the party. But I'm announcing funding today in my own brief in the Department of Health under Healthy Ireland. So in the budget, the last budget, I secured €500,000 for outdoor infrastructure for swimming, bathing facilities across the country. So this will be the first time this fund has been created. So this will be the first phase of this. So the applications will be open from tomorrow, Friday, and they'll run until the 17th of May. So for all those swimming enthusiasts, be swimming in the open water or in lakes or rivers, what I'm asking is for you to engage with their local sports partnerships and the local authority to look at what would be needed in your area in relation to very kind of quick, immediate kind of infrastructure that could be put in place. For example, a changing facility, a changing shelter, steps or handrails to help people enter the water more safely, beach wheelchairs or wheelchair mats that would help people be able to enter the water safely. Like, we all know how swimming, outdoor swimming in particular, has really increased in popularity over the years. Mm-hmm. So there's so many beautiful bathing spots right across the country. I was down in Renville yesterday and the Silver Fins were out for their daily swim. This is a group of people from all over the Renville, Oranmore, Maree, wider area, Clarenbridge area, who go down there every day to swim at high tide. And that's really an example of what's happening right across the country. But a lot of these places just need kind of basic facilities. So something that can be put in place by summer that doesn't require planning, doesn't require plumbing. It's like a shelter, as I say, handrails, equipment. And you can really discuss this then with the local sports partnerships, and Sport Ireland are part of this as well, so they're facilitating this funding, but it's coming from my own department.
Okay, but I mean, so there's no red tape involved in this then, is what you're saying to me? This goes to the sports partnership, they know how to apply for it. So if the people like that would be using, you mentioned Renville, and it could be Black Rock, it could be anywhere at all, they just have to get in contact with the sports partnership and see what they can do for the area.
Exactly. And the grants are up to €30,000. And what I wanted to do was not have things that are going to, you know, require planning and will take, you know, months or maybe a year to put in place. Something that can be really short term measures, handrails, as I say, steps, equipment. And the locals will know themselves what they need, and something that can be put in place by this summer. And that's the first phase of it. I'd like to see this rolled out into kind of larger funding in the future, but it's a good start there. So as I say, it opens on Friday. Contact your local sports partnership, have a discussion with them about what's required, because different areas might require different things, and they can then apply for the funding through Swim Ireland. So a really important initiative, and something that will get more people hopefully out swimming, because we all know the benefits of it for your body, your mind, and even the social side of meeting up for the swim or going for coffee or whatever, or going for a walk after. There's huge benefits there, and we all know people who do it. I'm quite a regular swimmer myself, and I know the benefits it has to clear your head. It's like it's really like a switch in your body.
Restart,
to get into the water, to submerge, and you come out, you're a different person. So it's just basic facilities to try and help these local communities to improve the bathing areas in their particular area.
All right. It's a busy day, by the way. There's a lot of ministers in Galway today as well, and I know a few announcements on jobs as well, so that's coming the way. It has been a busy fortnight for you. The Simon Harris situation, Noel Grealish, I'm told, and other independents are meeting him today. Do you think that he will have the numbers?
Yes, we'll definitely have the numbers. I know from, as government chief whip, we do have a majority. It is a slim majority, but we would have had, and certainly over the last, since my role in as chief whip, I'd have had very positive engagement with independents across the floor of the Dáil, who would have supported us on, not on everything, but on, you know, certain votes. And I've worked very well with them, but I know they have, I suppose, conversations they have to have now with Minister Harris, our new leader of Fine Gael and soon to be Taoiseach. So we'll let those conversations happen over the next few days, but certainly we will have the votes. But it's always good to have, I suppose, extra support as well next Tuesday, when there will be, I suppose, a changeover of Taoiseach.
And have you had conversations with them, or is there any chance that we'll get a senior minister's portfolio for the West of Ireland for Galway?
Well, that's going to be a matter for Simon Harris, the new Taoiseach. Obviously, I was there when Leo gave us the news 2 weeks ago now, and he'll be down in Galway. We have our Ardesh coming to Galway on Saturday, so we'll have all Fine Gael ministers down, and Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris will be there. But look, these are going to be matters for Simon, and I'm sure he's making his decisions at the moment. But first and foremost, we're all elected as TDs for our constituency, and that's at the forefront of my mind, the people of Galway West, and my work will continue within the constituency. And look, everyone, I'm always honoured to serve, and it is an honour to sit at Cabinet, but that will be a matter for Simon Harris.
All right, thanks for joining us today with that. Minister Hildegard Nocton joining us there. Thank you for joining us today on the programme. I'm going to stay on this theme, so I am, because overnight I received an email from Councillor Clodagh Higgins in relation indeed to facilities when it comes to Salt Hill and Salt Hill Village as well. And she has issued a very strong statement, I have to say, welcoming the Galway City Council's progress and a vision for Salt Hill Village as well. And she joins me on the line today. And Councillor Clodagh Higgins, good morning to you. Thanks indeed for joining us today in the programme.
Good morning, Keith, and good morning to your listeners. And thanks so much for having me on this morning.
No problem. Now, following on from what Hildegard Nocton has just given to us there, I mean, there's a major fund there as well for it. So does that tie into what you're hoping Galway City Council will do?
Well, most certainly, I'd like to commend the funding put in place by Minister Nocton. And I think, you know, it'll really assist in upgrading areas. And I look forward to, I suppose, discussions with Jason Crowell from Galway Sports Partnership regarding funding options for the likes of Salt Hill and Silver Strand. And I guess that funding, Minister Nocton was saying that it is pretty immediate in the sense of putting that to work,
place,
but the strategy that Galway City Council have been working on, they are finalising the tender documents to seek a multidisciplinary team to prepare a Salt Hill Village and Seafront strategy, Keith. And you may ask, what does that actually mean? But what it does mean is that we're going to have essentially a vision document to guide the enhancement, the management and the use and development of Salt Hill and its seafront. And that plan will be aimed at enhancing the natural beauty, the cultural heritage, and of course, the economic vitality of Salt Hill. And you know, I really do think that this is going to be a game changer for the village, because it's going to capture all aspects of the village's future development, from, we'll say, the beach, urban design and planning, transportation, parking, flooding, environmental conservation, and of course, tourism promotion.
So can you give me just, I mean, it's fairly broad what we're talking about, but I mean, could you see the diving tower being enhanced? Could you see some of the dressing room facilities, which Hildegard referred to there, could they be enhanced a little bit? Can you see the path infrastructure, the seating infrastructure? Can you see all of that being improved?
So there's currently plans afoot for Leisureland and Salt Hill Park, as you know, and obviously then the refurbishment of Blackrock Diving Tower and indeed the tidal pools. And I suppose this plan, I've made no secret of my views in relation to the development of Salt Hill. There has never been a plan in place, and as a result, developments have taken place on a piecemeal basis. And if that continues, it's going to strip our unique character, Keith. In relation to the funding that you were speaking to Minister Nocton about, I guess, you know, we have to realise that we're in an area of special, a special area of conservation. So we are restricted in the sense of putting stuff in place immediately, because we'll need planning and environmental screeners and so forth. Yeah. But this overall strategy really is a huge opportunity, I guess, to correct the kind of piecemeal development of Salt Hill and get it right in terms of master planning and developing at Salt Hill. And, you know, I might be biased in saying it, but Salt Hill really is a gem. And I've often referred to it as a diamond that needs to be polished.
Yeah.
And now we're having a real opportunity to do that by way of putting a Salt Hill village and seafront strategy in place.
How long will it take, do you reckon?
So the thought, I suppose the it's envisaged that it's envisaged that the tender documents will it's envisaged that the tender documents will be finalised, and then hoping that somebody I suppose in situ to take up this pretty immediately. We're hoping that during the summer period it'll that we will have public consultation. And the thing about public consultation, Keith, is that it'll probably take at least 18 months to do that piece of work, because we want to be able to capture seasonal changes and so forth. You know, it's really important that we have as wide an audience as possible, so that we can plan properly, I suppose. And, you know, with Salt Hill, any morning that you go down to Ladies Beach or Black Rock, you have daily swimmers coming from Athenry, Loughrea, Tuam and so forth. So Salt Hill is a very special place, and everyone feels a sense of ownership about it right across the city and beyond. And I think that it's really important that that piece of, that consultation process is as wide as possible.
So late 2025, we should see the fruits of the labour here?
Absolutely. And then what will be in a position where we'll be able to, I suppose, apply for various funding streams, because, at the moment, we have no plan for Salt Hill, really. So this strategy is going to be very advantageous when it comes to applying for future funding opportunities. It definitely won't slow down progress. It'll actually speed it up. And, you know, there is a number of funding streams available that we can apply for to enhance Salt Hill, and it's important that we're set up and ready to go.
Yeah.
And I guess this strategy most certainly will assist in that. And, you know, I think about the different types of funding streams that are available. You have the URDF funding, and that's a substantial amount of funding that could be available to totally transform Salt Hill, but at the same time ensuring that we protect its unique character.
I look forward to seeing it. Thank you, Lee, for joining us today. That's Councillor Clodagh Higgins on that, and you can sense the passion there. And again, it's great that somebody is looking at it, get the foundations ready, get the plans ready, and then hopefully the funding will follow suit on it as well. Now, let me move on again, because we have a busy programme. I told you we did have. I want to go to Lisa Chambers, who joins me on the line shortly indeed, because We're looking at, as you know, indeed, Senator Lisa Chambers is going for the European elections, but she's issued a very strong statement overnight as well, where she says, Galway at the heart of Senator Lisa Chambers' bid for the European energy leadership, and she joins me on the line today. Senator Chambers, what do you mean by European energy leadership? And you want this done, and you want it done fairly quickly.
Yeah, so the EU Commission, where so Ireland gets a commissioner, every member state gets a commissioner. And that new EU Commission will be formed after the European elections, which are taking place on the 7th of June. So we'll be getting a new commissioner and we'll be getting probably a new portfolio. So yesterday I wrote to the three government party leaders, Micheál Martin, Eamon Ryan and Simon Harris, to say that we should collectively as a government push for Ireland to get the energy portfolio, that should be the commission role that we look for a number of reasons. The main one really is that I think the potential, particularly for offshore wind off the west coast of Ireland, is unmatched by any other member state. We have the strongest and best winds of any country in Europe. So not only can we green our own country, there's 10 times the amount of energy off the west coast than what our country needs to run everything. So that's the scale of the potential that's there. But so not only can we green...
The importance of having the commissionership then, would that not be seen as being biased if we do have that and we are positioned where we are?
Well, I suppose the point I would make is that not only would it be good for Ireland, but we're bringing something to the table that no other member state can bring. So we will be of strategic importance to Europe in its drive, particularly since the war in Ukraine and the rise in energy costs that we experienced the last couple of years. There's a real push at a European level now for energy independence, energy security and energy sustainability. So there's a really big focus on this portfolio like there never was before. And we're looking to green energy and renewable energy because that's what we need to move towards. So not only can Ireland look after its own energy needs, we can actually export to Europe and be very much of strategic importance to Europe. And that's where I see us going along the west coast in particular in the next decade. So what's sitting off the west coast of Galway and right up along the Atlantic seaboard, the potential is just so huge.
Yeah.
I don't think we've fully grasped what we have sitting off the west coast. And when we do develop that industry properly and we do have floating offshore wind farms off, and I'm talking 150 kilometres off the coast, so this is not going to impact the community along the west coast.
Yeah.
You know, I think the potential for jobs for Galway and Mayo and right up along the west coast, high quality tech jobs, renewable energy jobs, you know, really it's limitless what we could achieve. And getting that portfolio at an EU level allows us to drive the agenda and it gives us access to a massive fund of money because there's a lot of money available at an EU level for renewable projects. Europe wants to fund these types of projects. They're waiting for countries to come to them with proposals. And I think having somebody from a country where we really recognise what we have sitting off our west coast, I think we can drive that agenda and I think it could be of huge benefit to Ireland. It's a portfolio that we can realistically aspire to get. And I think it will be just fantastic for the country. And I was delighted yesterday that a number of my Fianna Fáil colleagues, Deputy O'Queeve and Senator Ollie Crome as well, were all rowing in behind to support this proposal that we would push for that particular portfolio for Ireland after June elections.
Absolutely. But the knock on it, I mean, first off, unfortunately, you can't store wind energy, so you have to have a market for it somewhere in Europe to be able to get it to fairly quickly. But then the other knock-on effect of this one will be the likes of Killybegs, the likes of Galway, the likes of Rossaville, and all the other ports down to Foynes, indeed, in Limerick. I mean, the traffic that it will bring into those ports is further money coming in, indeed, during the construction phase, the maintenance phase, and all of that.
Absolutely. I mean, the opportunities for the west of Ireland are immense. Like, if we become an early adapter, if we move on this, you know, sooner rather than later, which is what I'm pushing for, you know, we then as a country, we develop the skills base, we develop the ancillary businesses that will support this industry and we become world leaders. That's the ambition and the vision that we have to have for our country and for the west of Ireland. And why not be a world leader? We have the best wind. We have the strongest winds. You know, we have what no other, you can't manufacture this stuff. We have it sitting off the west coast. And we know that there are demonstrator projects that are currently sitting off the coast of Norway, Portugal and Scotland. So what I'm specifically asking for is that we would move in this country to develop a demonstrator project off the west coast to get that technology moving. So there is technology there. It's not at a commercial level yet, but we have to start the planning for it. And currently all of the focus from the government department is on the east coast and moving around to the south. They're leaving the west of Ireland for the next 10 years. I think that's a mistake, because if we don't move, other countries will. They're already doing it and they're eating our dinner. So we need to be an early adopter. We need to start making the plans for this. And I just think the potential there, we can't leave that sitting there when we know we have 2030 targets to meet, 2050 targets in terms of emissions reductions. And there's a demand from consumers. You know, people want solutions to high energy costs, but they want sustainable energy. Yeah. They want green energy. And when we talk about Galway Port, or we think about, say, the Corrib gas field that needs to get a new lease of life, and you mentioned about you can't store energy or electricity, what we can do is store hydrogen. So the development of hydrogen projects along the West Coast to store that energy, then we're not worried about our agricultural sector. We're not worried about driving to work because we've got green energy. So I just think, you know, the potential for what we have there for the west of Ireland, for Galway and right up along the coast, we need a kind of coordinated approach. And that's why I think having an EU commissioner with the energy portfolio from Ireland, that's that leadership from the country at an EU level and giving us access to funds as well to develop these projects. I think that's where we have to be ambitious and drive on.
And I know you are, so don't take it personal, but I think even from a European election point of view, I think it has to be a whole of Ireland approach, not just 100%. Our region here. And I know that you've embraced that, others haven't, but it has to be a whole of Ireland. We're only a small island, and what you're saying makes a huge amount of sense, but we have to do it collectively rather than politically, together as an island.
And I met Minister Ryan on this issue back last year, and you know they're doing what they call designated marine area plans. So what they're doing is scoping off the coast of Ireland, you know, taking into account special areas of conservation and identifying areas off the coast that can be developed. However, they're focusing on the east and the south coast first, and they're not starting on the west coast yet. And I appreciate and recognise that there is a capacity issue, perhaps, and maybe getting the skills required to do this mapping. You know, there's a limit to how many people we have that can do this type of work. But I just think it's a mistake to not start that process off the west coast as well. We're doing it off the east and the south. I know it's easier in those areas because you've got shallower waters, not as windy. But again, it's not the potential for energy production isn't as good either. So it's trying to kind of get the island to work together, you know, do the mapping off the west coast now, get it ready, and tell industry, tell businesses, international companies that the west of Ireland is open for business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've the Marine Institute just out the road here. We've the finest technology in boats sitting in the docks from time to time. So we have it on the west.
Educated people,
we have
and skilled people that would do this work 100%.
Senator, thank you indeed for joining us today. Senator Lisa Chambers there, and it all makes sense. And again, if you want to get further details on that, we'll post the piece indeed which Senator Chambers sent into us overnight, which is very thorough, I have to say. Quick commercial break, and an April Fool's joke, which was put up online by Supermax, seems to have upset a few people out there. It was April Fool's Day, lads. Don't be so sensitive. We'll talk about that next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Now, very good morning to you. Over the last couple of years, Supermax, I have to say, and their marketing department have been very creative when it comes to April Fool's jokes. To the point that I remember on a previous April Fool's Day, Supermax said that snack boxes would be served on Aer Lingus flights. And sure, we all knew that that was, you know, just 1st of April when you release something like that. They also spoke indeed at the time about having a Supermax in Copperface Jacks in Dublin. So it was kind of tongue-in-cheek stuff. And this year, they really outdid themselves, so they did, in relation to the naming rights for Croke Park. But it kind of backfired, so it did. But Supermax social media platforms, they were taken offline by Meta after the GA headquarters threatened a trademark legal action over the fast food giant's April Fool's joke. Now, I can tell you, lads, if it was you or me or Supermax themselves that wanted to get through to Meta, they wouldn't have got through as quick as the GA did. I'm joined on the line, though, by Pat McDonough, Managing Director of Supermax. Pat, morning to you. I do have him there, so I do. And let me just see, can I get him one more time? He was with me a second ago, and I'll just see, can I just bring him back up there again? But they're a little bit sensitive, one would say, today. I'm trying to get him up there, just as we do. Again, those previous jokes that were there kind of got people smiling on April Fool's Day. But unfortunately, the GA were not smiling at all, I have to say, from there. Now, I'll get to it in a moment. While we're waiting just to get Pat just online there, I will just give you some of the comments coming into us today. Keith, could you please ask Lisa Chambers, in order to run as an MEP, she has to sign up giving the okay to Ursula von der Leyen to continue being president of the EU. So what do you want me to ask her? Because we'll ask her if you want from there. Could you please ask your speaker as well, does she live within 1 kilometre of a 185-metre wind turbine? They're destroying our country. Why not use floating turbines or solar, less invasive to nature and human beings as well? But I think that's what they were talking about, is putting them out on the bay there altogether. Keith, is there any plans for Silver Strand at all with all that you're talking about there? And Keith, could you ask Councillor Higgins why she voted to build houses on a tiny green area in Ballinfoyle Park? It's only amenities for Salt Hill that's important. Ballinfoyle is a gem as well. She voted as she voted. Keith, could you please ask Kildare Nocton about her input into the ring road in Galway? Could you please figure that out for us as well, if you don't mind? The ring road is currently on board Planola, so the ring road is going absolutely nowhere as we speak, until such time as it comes out of on board Planola. And until then, we just have to kind of sit on our hands from there. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take a short commercial break and hopefully we'll have gotten the line straight through to Pat at that stage.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I do believe that we've made contact with Pat McDonough, so let me just do this and this, and we should have him online as well today. Pat McDonough, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. In my previous intro, when we were talking about this, I was talking about previous April Fool's Days, you spoke about snack boxes being available on Aer Lingus flights and Supermax opening at Copperface Jacks. But this year, unfortunately, your social media platforms were taken offline by Meta after the GA headquarters threatened a trademark legal action over the fast food giant's April Fool's joke. This was a bit of fun, so it was. It was to be Supermax Crow Park for the crack of it. And it's kind of blown up now.
Absolutely, yeah, it was came up with, by the marketing department in Supermax, and it was a funny one out today. And you see, with all the controversy, I suppose, over Parky Queeve being named with Super Value, they thought it was a good idea to have an April Fool's joke and say we'll brand Crow Park Supermax Crow Park. And you know, it went out on April the 1st, so everyone knew it was going to be actually an April Fool's joke. And but unfortunately, the headquarters of the GA didn't like it. And on the bank holiday Monday, sent us Meta to take down not go just our ad, but disconnect our
social media,
Facebook, etc. So anyway, look, at the end of the day, it's only a storm in the G-Cup, and just surprised how sensitive they were to kind of get a legal team on contact me or whoever on Instagram and all that, you know. So anyway, look,
is it a storm in a teacup or is it a storm in a snack box? I mean,
it's not bothering me too much anyway, but I'm sure we'll probably hear another bit from it later on or whatever. But it's one of those things where it's an April Fool's joke, as I say. We didn't hear from Aer Lingus, so we didn't hear from Copperface Jacks. They took it in good stride and enjoyed the crack, and we had a few other ones at different times and likewise. Yeah. But as I say, Crow Park, I think HQ don't realise that the grassroots is what makes the GA, not Crow Park or the Crow Park officialdom. As I say, you can really see from the reaction that wasn't kind of so well taken by the general public. But anyway, that's it, and it's all as far as I'm concerned.
When I was reading it though last night, when I saw it coming up last night on the feed, I mean, if you or I wanted to contact Meta, because, and in the past we've had reasons to do it, it's a very laborious task and takes forever to do. But the GA seem to have the line straight in, because on a bank holiday Monday, I don't know how they did it.
Well, that's probably what I surprised. Not many legal firms are open on a bank holiday Monday or contactable. So I was kind of surprised it came from a legal source. But look, that's there. It's not, I'm not making a big issue. As I say, it was a joke. Mm. It's over. It's done. Move on. I have bigger things to fish to fry, as I might say. But
in Crow Park, I hope. Yeah.
It could continue.
Right.
I don't think I'll be getting any franchise in Grow Park in the distant future. I think I'll be kept out of there for a while. Not to worry.
There's more.
As I say, look, we sponsor, as I say, quite a lot of teams around the country, and that's our program for sponsorship in the GAA. And maybe I was critical of GAA Go, and it might be a bit of a fallback to that, I'm not quite sure. But I don't see why the public who are paying licenses to RTE should also be paying for a company that's been set up by RTE and the GAA to deliver matches, etc., and have to repay for it. So that's maybe where the issue came from. I'm not quite sure. But anyway,
it is. But I suppose one comment here kind of summarised the whole thing, and I'll let you back indeed to your day's work. And it comes from a gentleman. He said, after all the money and support Pat McDonn and Supermax has shown to the GAA, you would think a call to Pat, if they had an issue, would have been more appropriate. And I think so say all of us as well. And so, yes,
that's probably whoever sent in that is probably the right way of doing it. But sometimes, you know, it's like breaking a nut with a sledgehammer as opposed to a hammer. That's not the way they seem to work. But anyway, I'm not here to over criticize them. But as I said, there's a lot more issues than that they have to deal with, and we have to deal with as well. That are more important than wasting time in a bank holiday and cutting us off from meet or Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get back on.
We won't worry about it, Pat. Thanks for joining us. To Pat McDonough, Managing Director of Supermax. One of the bizarre stories, but you know what? I think it's good from there. A husband and wife team have done something very creative here in Galway. I haven't seen it done before in my lifetime, and I'm here a long time, so yeah. It's called Unlocking Artistry in Every Corner, and it's the Kurrundulla Arts Collective, and they're embarking on a village transformation. I'm joined by Peter Lockman, who sits opposite me patiently today. Peter, morning to you.
Good morning.
I'll pull you in a little bit there, so yep. I will. Talk to me about where the idea came from for Unlocking Artistry in Every Corner. And this is a huge project.
Well, first of all, I'd like to complain. John Morley offered me a cup of coffee and I didn't get one.
So that's okay.
Just so you know, I was lured in under false pretenses.
Where did the idea come from? He didn't give you the coffee.
He didn't. I'm semi-dehydrated, but I'll be grand.
And look, he dropped me in a cup of tea. Do you know, seniority is what it is. Where did the idea come from? Because this is a very ambitious project, and you really brought the whole area of Kurrundulla together on this.
Well, the idea stemmed back from, we were in the south of France, in a nudist campsite, when we met neighbours, and needless to say, they were nude, and it took us by surprise. These neighbours know France quite well. Mm-hmm. So they said to us, when you're heading back towards Ireland, visit the village of La Gacilly. So we did. The village of La Gacilly, they have a photographic exhibition once a year for 3 months. There's about 600 photographs displayed, and it was absolutely fantastic, very interesting and very rewarding to go there. The village is very much bigger, but looks like Kong. And imagine Kong with loads of photographs everywhere.
And what size photographs would they have in that
village? They would be about a metre by 80 centimetres, thereabouts.
So big.
Big photographs. And some of them are actually huge, and they are portrayed on the gable walls of buildings. And really interesting stuff.
And do you need planning permission for these?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, in France I'm talking about.
Oh, I don't know. You don't have no clue. So, but it's been going on for over 20 years.
So you brought the idea home. You brought the idea home then.
Yeah, we came back with the idea, and Birgit, my wife, is an artist. She had painted two houses in the village, and we had to touch them up, and we were there. And Birgit said, you know, they've been here 6 years and there was no damage done to them. And we've also opened up our garden to the public for the last 4 years, mm-hmm. and no damage has been done. And we said, you know, we should try something like in La Gacilly with art. Because Galway, even though it's considered a very arty place, has very limited gallery spaces. And also on top of that, a lot of people wouldn't go near galleries. Whereas if the art is displayed on farm land or gardens, front gardens, everybody will pass it and they'll stop and look at it. And we had a gallery before and the kids of the village came and youngsters and they saw it and they were awed by it. So it's all a matter of exposing the art and exposing the artists.
Mm.
So that's how the idea came about, not really thinking about the logistics behind it.
And how many artists have you on board?
There's 33 artists exhibiting and totally diverse. And what was actually very amazing was the neighbourhood. When we came up with the idea, we walked to the neighbours and asked them, could we display stands in their front gardens? And they all agreed and they all rallied behind us.
Mm.
And then one of the neighbours said, oh, we'll organise a coffee morning, and all the neighbourhood came and donated a fair amount of money because the cost factor, it ran out of, a bit out of control. But we were sponsored then by the local pubs and the pharmacy and Abbey Signs. Oh, there's my coffee. Thank you very much.
I wasn't quick enough to take a photograph of that. That would have been a unique photograph that you could have put up in the exhibition as well. So you could. Doesn't do that very often, but anyway, there you go. So when is this opening? So a tremendous amount of work has gone into this by you and Birgit, and you've it all ready to go and you have the trail done. And I mean, it's very creatively done. Even the brochure that you sent in to me, the colour brochure, is very creatively done. Are they all covered now currently for unveiling on the 14th?
They're all covered in black plastic. Now, we built a prototype before the storms in autumn. Put it up in our garden, and needless to say, it blew over. So the stands had to be a lot bigger than we had anticipated, and that became a logistical problem because they're super heavy. And I got help from Eddie Brago, Brendan Fury, and Jimmy Heshen. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Just moving the stands alone is serious hard work.
33 stands you have to
move. 33 stands, and every stand has two bases, and each base is 85 kilograms. Mm. That's a lot of weight. So after a day of that, you don't have to bend down to tighten your shoelaces. Your arms are long enough for that.
Absolutely. So it's opening then on Sunday the 14th.
On the 14th, we'll have an informal gathering. All the artists can bring friends and family, if they like, into our house. And then we're going to run off and unveil everything that nobody can see it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is putting up these signs in black plastic, the neighbours passing that don't know about it, they have the weirdest ideas what's going on in the village.
Mm-hmm.
And we just leave them in the dark and wait until the 14th.
You leave them in the black darkness.
Yes.
So and what time is the unveiling on Sunday the 14th of April?
Well, the house is open from 2 to 5, so people can pop into our house anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And then around 3-ish, weather depending, we'll run off and unveil them. And then everybody
what
can walk around.
What do you mean you'll run off?
Pardon?
What do you mean you'll run off? What do you mean you're going to run off and unveil them?
Well, because there's still black plastic over them, we want all the artists to be in the house before we unveil them.
Wow.
So somebody will run ahead and take it all off as quick as possible.
Wow.
And the loop, just for people to know, the loop starts at the local library in Corundula, and that is the best spot to park because there's parking space there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a 1.5-kilometre loop that you can walk. But there's a map at the library explaining where things are.
It's interesting, really is interesting. It's the first of its type that I've come across in Ireland.
Well, I've never seen it done here. But
no.
The thing was, we planned, let's see, because there's so much negative news, let's do something positive. And the neighbourhood, as I said, rallied behind it. And we looked around and people said, why don't you apply for a grant? And I said, no, I don't want a grant. I want the neighbourhood to pull together, see if they can pull it off. And they all were behind us. So
good. It's
great to see that still happening.
Amazing what happens in a nudist camp in France.
I'm telling you. And you don't need to worry about washing your clothes either.
Oh, we could. We could have one-liners all day long. So could Peter Lachman on this one. So it's going to run then from the 14th of April until the 30th of August.
Yes.
It's a long run.
It is a long run, but there's a lot of physical work. We started in October and we only just finished last week.
Wow.
So there's no point in just putting it up for 2 weeks. And all the neighbours agreed, yeah, they'd like to do it. And a lot of other neighbours that weren't included in the loop said, could we not be included? But it's just too much logistical hardship. And if it goes well, and if the neighbours don't mind, we'll just leave the bases in their houses somewhere behind the garage or something. And we could run it again and again and again.
Would you do it again next?
I would do it again. And I'd also like to thank the artists, first of all, for exposing themselves, because you can be ridiculed, as you know. And they also invested in this project, because the stands, they look like nothing, but they're quite costly. And every artist paid €120 towards the stand. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to thank all of them for that, and for the trust they gave us for to do it.
All right. Listen, well done to yourself and Birgit. Thank you, Dave, for joining us in studio today. And again, Peter Lachman, thank you. It runs from the 14th of April to the 30th of August. And thank you for popping in
and
to us.
And thanks, John Morley, for the coffee.
That's okay, yeah. You can thank him when you go out there. You can give him a tip in the ear if you want as well. No problem.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.